are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, we have a few things to talk about. Mike Yastrzemski injury scare on the last day of spring. We'll break that down and talk about the traumatic event that it reminded us of. And then I also want to talk about some projections. We haven't done as many as we usually do on this show, like we did last year and even the year before that. But there's some projections I want to comment on. And then thirdly, we're going to bring back Hot Take Tuesday, which is going to be a tradition moving forward. It's just that I forgot to do it last week. But anyway, the big story from yesterday, the Giants' last spring training game, and Mike Yastrzemski was in what was probably going to be his last spring training at bat. And what happens? He gets hit in the hand with a pitch from Sean Manaea. So, you know, I was kind of doing something else, and I go on Twitter, and I just see a bunch of texts or a bunch of tweets that say Mike Yastrzemski. And then I read closely, and it's like, he was in a heap. He had to be removed from the game, exited with Dave Greschner. And I don't know about you, but I just went full-blown into flashbacks from the 2018 season when Madison Bumgarner got hit in the hand with a comebacker. He was on the mound, threw a pitch. Ball came, I think it was Whit Merrifield of the Royals who hit a ground ball back to Bumgarner, and it just clipped his finger on his throwing hand, and it was his last start, and he broke his finger, and he had to miss significant time to open up the 2018 season. And of course, at that time, the Giants were coming off the 98-loss 2017 season, and they went out and, you know, acquired Evan Longoria, Andrew McCutchen, and so people felt a lot better about the Giants going into 2018, myself included, and then boom, this injury to their best pitcher, arguably their best player at the time, in his last spring start. So that was obviously devastating. And immediately I was thinking, oh my goodness, that is going to happen all over again. And kind of under similar circumstances where there's like renewed optimism about this team. And then the guy who's probably their best player potentially breaking a bone in his hand. But so I've gotten several minutes into this episode and I have not yet said X-rays were negative. So we can all breathe a sigh of relief. And I mean, sometimes I think in rare circumstances, you can get a negative reading on an X-ray and then still hurts. And then they do an MRI and then they see something. So my brain goes there. I'm like worst case scenario, doomsday prepping here. But the official word is that Yastrzemski has a left hand contusion and is day to day. So this comes just one day after Tommy La Stella was hit by a pitch on the kneecap, really. It just was a direct hit as he squared up to bunt. And there was real concern there as well. He came out of the game. He was seen on TV in a heap at second base. You know, he took first and then slid into second on an inning-ending double play. Then the TV camera shows him and he's just like heaped over on the ground. And so immediately I'm thinking, okay, he broke his kneecap. So imagine, I mean, the Giants were this close to losing Tommy La Stella and Mike Yastrzemski. That would just be completely devastating. You know, we talk on and on about the Giants' depth, but depth can only do so much. If you lose, if you're a kind of fringy team like the Giants are, you know, I'm optimistic about the Giants, but I'm not coming on here and saying they're going to win the NL West. They need every player to perform. Like, they can't afford to be losing two of their best players right as the season gets underway. So thankfully, I mean, maybe it's a good omen for this 2021 Giants team that neither guy seems to have sustained a serious injury here. So La Stella, they said that it was a contusion also and that he was day-to-day. And then the great news that I saw from yesterday's game is that he pinch hit. It was a lefty starter, Manaea, and then later in the game, there was a righty reliever and La Stella had a pinch hit plate appearance and he got a hit and then he was removed for a pinch runner. And Kapler said that it was just for no real reason except, you know, maybe a precaution to take him out there for a pinch runner. But he also mentioned that it was a scenario that La Stella is perhaps likely to see. And it could be one that transpires in this opening series. We have wondered out loud several times if La Stella is a platoon guy or if he's going to start against lefties. I think it's probably a good idea to have him on the bench against left-handed starters. The thing that a lot of people don't take into account is that the starter's not going to go very deep, especially early in the season. And so La Stella is going to have an opportunity then to come in, pinch hit, and get a few at-bats anyway. So when I say that situation may transpire, I mean pinch hitting when there's a righty on the mound, not coming out for a pinch runner. So we'll see. We'll find out more about who's going to start against lefties and who's not on Thursday, opening day, just a couple of days away. How exciting is that? So coming up next, we're going to talk about some projections. Generally, they haven't been that high on the Giants, but then there's one that may be the most accurate that is a little higher than most on the Giants. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or even account logins. Best of all, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, before we get into these projections that are higher on the Giants than most, so I really want to talk about why that is and what these projections are, I need you to know that you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. But these projections, I tweeted it out last night at like 11:30 p.m., which was not the most genius move I had of all time if I wanted the people to actually see the tweet. So unfortunately, I don't think it reached as many people as I would have wanted. But what the projections are is they're called ATC, and they're developed by Ariel Cohen. And basically, these projections have been up on FanGraphs for a few years, and I have always found them to be more in line with how I expect players to perform. I don't know if you've been to the FanGraphs site, but if you look at a specific player, on their player page, like when you're looking at their stats, there's a bunch of green highlighted rows. And those highlighted green rows are projections. And the you know, Fangraphs has like five different projection systems listed there. In fact, why don't I just go right now to look at Mike Yastrzemski in green. So you can go to Fangraphs Mike Yastrzemski on Google and you'll find this too. In green, the rows are the Bat X, the Bat, ATC, FGDC, Steamer, and Zips. So those aren't actually all different projection systems. FGDC stands for Fangraphs Depth Charts, and it averages Steamer and Zips. But anyway, ATC, looking at Yastrzemski, it's the highest on him of any of these projection systems. For example, Steamer has Yastrzemski as being 3% below average offensively and just 1.2 wins above replacement in 150 games. That's bogus. I'm sorry, but I just think that that's wrong, and I would bet some money that he overperforms that. But then looking at ATC, ATC projects Yastrzemski to be 18% above average, which I think is way more realistic. In his 161-game career, Yastrzemski has been 34% above average offensively, 4.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement in, like I said, 161 games. So the other projection systems kind of range from roughly average to slightly above average. But ATC, by far the most optimistic here. And so anyway, I've always found them to be more accurate, or just like when I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't, you know, Yastrzemski, that doesn't make sense, those below average ones. But the one that looks really good, that one does make sense to me. And it's not just Giants players, like Randy Arozarena, who had that great postseason. Some of the projections are like, oh yeah, he's not very good. But then ATC is like, yes, he is, and I buy that. So anyway, Ariel Cohen wrote a piece for Fangraphs on March 26th talking about his ATC projected standing. So, of course, if you make these projection systems, you can make projected standings and playoff odds. And then in this piece, he points out that his projection system has been found to be the most accurate baseball projections over the last two seasons by fantasy pros who dug into this, because obviously if you're in the fantasy baseball business, finding the best projection systems can be really valuable. So they use a complicated methodology that is over my head, but you can read about it if you want to read this article by Ariel Cohen on Fangraphs. But anyway, he and ATC have the Giants at 79 and 83. Now, you might be thinking, that's not very impressive, and you would be right. It's not very impressive. Although, it is just not two games under 500. It's four games under 500, but two additional wins, and they're a 500 team per these projections. I still think that's low. I would have to dig in and see exactly like which players are being projected for what and where I think they would be better than these projections. But the point is, other projection systems I've seen have the Giants in like the 74, 75, 76 win territory. And you might be thinking 79 is not that many more wins than 75, but it's significant to just pick up four wins based on, you know, everybody's got the same information, and this system is like, no, they're four, five wins better than you're thinking they are. That's significant. I'm going out on a limb and saying I think they're going to be seven wins better than this projection that is the most optimistic we've seen. So as I said, I would have to get into what the exact numbers are that are making this projection. Like if I'm seeing, oh, you know, I think Kevin Gausman is going to outperform where ATC is having him projected. But anyway, it was just a point to say, I mean, 79 and 83 is nothing to scoff at. I mean, you're basically a 500 team, which is progress. They would be a 500 team while on an upward trajectory. It's not like they're just stuck in the middle and no future and no past. They were bad. They had a bad roster, and now they're climbing out of it. And so I think they could outperform this, as I have said 1,000 times, but I just wanted to point that out. And even so, even at a projection of 79 and 83, ATC sees the Giants as having 9% playoff odds, which is not nothing. So don't just count this season off and say they have no shot. The game gets played on the field, so you can take projections with a grain of salt, but that I just wanted to point these ones out. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to do the latest edition of Hot Take Tuesday, so stick around to see what my hot take is for today. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball gets underway this Thursday. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Lots of baseball action you can get in on at BetOnline. We'll be talking about it a lot as the season goes on. I feel like there's some opportunities there, so go and check out what they've got to offer. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. How are we going to do that? Well, it's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is cookies and cream versus cookie dough chunk. Oh my goodness, it's a miracle. Nothing coconut in this matchup. If you know me, I do not like coconut, but I do love Built Bar and I love cookies, but I especially love cookie dough. So cookie dough chunk is how I'm voting. How are you voting? Let me know. And be sure to go to BuiltBar.com or follow them on Twitter to vote on today's matchup. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. All right, next it's time for Hot Take Tuesday, but before we get into that, I need you to know that the Locked On MLB Division Series preview continues on Locked On MLB today. Every episode from now until the 31st features in-depth looks at each team in every division. The NL West hasn't happened yet. It's either going to be today or tomorrow, I suppose. It's all on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. But now for my hot take of the week on today, Hot Take Tuesday. And my hot take, and this is going to be a scorcher, is that Gabe Kapler is going to be the 2021 Manager of the Year. And this kind of goes in line with my prediction, bold prediction, I should say. It was the very first hot take on Hot Take Tuesday, that the Giants would win 86 games. So if I think that's possible, then Gabe Kapler winning Manager of the Year is very much not out of the question. Let's not forget that he received votes in 2020. And honestly, the Giants may have been one win away from him winning this award. So we talk about Bet Online a lot on this show. And on Bet Online, you can bet on Manager of the Year. And so I was looking at the odds. I don't quite know how to pronounce the different, like plus 700, plus 800. I don't entirely understand that. But what I do know is that the lower the number, the more likely they think this manager is to win the award. So the top three, the number one is Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves. I think that's a little bit odd to have him as the number one choice. Usually the manager of the year is the manager of a team who makes a surprise run at the postseason, or makes a surprise postseason, who earns a spot in the postseason, and it's a surprise. That's what I'm trying to say here. So Snitker, I mean, the Braves are very likely to go. So I don't think he is the guy who should be the least valuable if you bet on him and win. So number two is Dave Roberts, and that's kind of the same story. If the Dodgers win 120 games or something, then yeah, maybe. Number three is Don Mattingly, and I think this is where it starts to get interesting, because the Marlins are in a little bit of a similar situation. It's amazing how people view the Marlins so much higher than the Giants, when in reality, the Marlins had two more wins than the Giants, and the Giants really should have won a couple more games at least. I mean, think of the Trevor Gott ninth inning games. Those are games you're going to win every time for like 60 straight years, and they lost this year. And then the Coonrod game. And then the Coonrod game, I think, fed into the last couple losses of the year. Giants easily could have been 31-29 like the Marlins were. Giants had a positive run differential. The Marlins were very negative. So the idea that Don Mattingly of the Marlins has such good odds here to win manager of the year, whereas we're going to find Gabe Kapler way towards the bottom, doesn't make any sense. This is an opportunity, in my opinion. I would definitely not vote Don Mattingly, but I think you can get good odds on Gabe Kapler. So continuing to move down the list, Jace Tingler of the San Diego Padres, plus 800. By the way, Roberts, Mattingly, and Tingler are plus 800. Snitker is plus 700. But again, you know, people expect good things out of the Padres, so if they just earn a wild card spot, I'm not sure that he's going to win this award. Next is Luis Rojas. I think he has a decent chance because the Mets have not been able to put it together for a while, and this year they might, so I would give him a decent shot. David Ross, yeah, I mean, if the Cubs win the division, he has a decent case to be made. He's at plus 1,000. Rojas was plus 900. Also at plus 1,000, Craig Counsell of the Brewers, Joe Girardi of the Phillies. Well, that's it. Counsell and Girardi. So I don't know. Both of these teams have some expectations. I guess if the Phillies made it, maybe even won the division, then you could definitely make a case for Girardi. But Counsell, I mean, the Brewers have just kind of been in the same position now for several years, where they're not a great team, but they perform well and they give themselves a shot to make the playoffs. And so if they do it again this year, then no one's going to be particularly surprised or impressed. And that's the key word. You've got to impress people. Like if the Giants are in the postseason, that is going to impress people because nobody expects anything out of this team. So at plus 1,200, Torey Lovello of the Diamondbacks and David Bell of the Reds, Mike Schilt of the Cardinals also. So, I mean, I just don't really get having the Diamondbacks ahead of the Giants here. Lovello and ahead of Gabe Kapler. The Reds, yeah, I could see that. That's fair. I think that's a fair placement. Schilt, Mike Schilt of the Cardinals, I don't know. People expect the Cardinals to do well after they traded for Arenado, but I think they're likely to do worse than expectations, so I don't think that's a very good bet there, except they definitely could win the division, so maybe that would get him some attention. So then at plus 1,400 is Gabe Kapler of the Giants and Davey Martinez of the Washington Nationals. So I don't know, the Nationals won the World Series 2 years ago, and the Giants, I think that people expect a lot less from the Giants than they do from the Nationals. So if the Nationals like make a wild card spot, is anyone really going to be doing cartwheels and throwing a parade for them 2 years after they won a World Series? I don't think so. But Gabe Kapler at plus 1,400, I think is arguably one of the better bets here. So then at plus 1,600, just barely above the plus 1,400 where Kapler is Bud Black of the Rockies and Derek Shelton of the Pirates. Those guys have no shot. Those teams are going to lose close to 100 games. Put it in ink right here and right now. Each of those two teams is going to lose more than 90 games. Mark it down. So there's no way they're winning manager of the year. So anyway, that is my hot take on Hot Take Tuesday. I pretty certain you've never heard that anywhere else, that Gabe Kapler is going to win Manager of the Year in 2021. So if that's not a hot take, I don't know what is. And that is why we call it Hot Take Tuesday. That is all the time we have for today. Coming up tomorrow is a crossover division day with Jeff Snyder from Locked On Dodgers. So it's a really great conversation. He and I talked last night, and Jeff is a really great baseball mind, so you're not going to want to miss that. And then on Thursday, it's going to be opening day, so that is going to be a podcast you're not going to want to miss. We're going to get you ready for first pitch in Seattle, Kevin Gausman on the mound. That's going to be a lot of fun. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. I just so appreciate how many of you have done this for me lately. It helps out the show more than you know, and it also means a lot to me personally. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyway, I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you next time.